Rockstar Podcast, episode 37. We discuss with Mariano his trip coming up to Texas for the dental conference, and then we get to know Mariano, one of the co-hosts of the Rockstar Podcast for the past 10 years. And there's a bonus track at the end. I hope you enjoy. Here's the episode. Bye. Hello, and welcome to Rockstar Podcast. Was that really loud? I just yelled into the microphone. Episode 37. Lorenzo's here with Mariano. Tony is on a sabbatical. He'll be returning next Tuesday. And Mariano, how are you?
I'm fine, man. I'm getting ready for a trip.
Now, I didn't say anything on purpose, but now you are two for two without Tony saying hello properly and lovely. And he's going to start getting what do they call it?
He makes me nervous. He's a sound guy. Like, I'm always worried that
I sound like Ray Romano on his worst day, and you're worried about sound.
He just makes me nervous.
Okay, so automatically you go right into the laptop, start talking away from the microphone. Mariano, where are you going today? Are you leaving today?
Tomorrow, I'm leaving tomorrow.
On a jet plane?
I'm going to Dallas, Texas, where, interestingly, I have no idea how to dress because I just checked the weather this morning.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like 90 the day I get there, and it's going to be 60 the day I leave. So I have
90 you get there tomorrow.
Yes.
And 60, how long are you going to be there for?
Till Saturday. Low of 44 on Saturday. Yeah, so.
You can, I mean,
yeah.
Wear chaps and and a cowboy hat, right? Isn't that what they do?
Isn't that Mariano does Dallas? That would be perfect, right?
Okay. This is the 2-hour conference?
This is the 2-hour.
Can you make this podcast basically the 15-minute version and give me a couple of like highlights to what we're talking about?
So,
and I'll try and keep your confidence level up by not saying anything. I think you'll be fine. So go ahead.
Well, the summary of the conference is I was asked to go and talk about digital marketing to dentists because they and dentists are an interesting group because they have, unlike a lot of businesses.
I don't think anybody's ever said that.
Well, the reason why they're interesting is because unlike a lot of businesses, they're actually trained to market their practice. In the sense that And now it's new media. A long time ago, it was a lot about referrals and establishing relationships.
It still is big, right?
Referrals is still huge. But I'm just saying, they seem to be keeping up with what's appropriate to do in marketing today, as opposed to a lot of other medical practices that we've worked with. This conference is a lot about, for us, education on digital marketing and how we can, how a practice can market itself online.
About how many people, you think?
I unfortunately have no idea because there's no registration process. So, I mean,
is this a standing room only concert at a bar?
No, it's like it's at a hotel, it's at a conference center, and there's going to be like smaller rooms, and these are breakout sessions. So, people,
headlining?
Get anywhere between 5 and 15 people. There's a place where they're advertising it. There's about 600 people that are going to be at this conference, but I think I'm going to get somewhere between 5 and 15 people per session. I'm actually hoping in the first session.
Well, wait, sessions. Each session is 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm getting one. I'm doing one on Thursday and one on
for someone
Saturday.
As myself who is a conference aficionado and has been in the expo and conference world. It's tough. In a room when there's 10 or 15 people, mm-hmm. 20 people, mm-hmm. to provide 2 hours of content, I think that you may find yourself by the second half of it cutting it down and then doing Q&A because I think they'll gravitate and understand what you're doing.
The way I'm approaching it, so the way I've broken it down is, first of all, I kind of wanted to present it as, the title of the presentation is, it's time to get your digital marketing out of living in the basement.
Okay. No teeth reference. No.
The reason why I did that is because there are
social toothache.
Social toothache could be, but it's not just social. The reason why I did that is because I want. There's this idea a lot of practices have where digital marketing is almost like a secondary thought.
They like, probably still use Yellow Pages, some of them. It's probably still effective on some level for seniors.
I think it depends on the market. But it's the idea is that most businesses are headed in this direction. If you think about even 5 years ago, you know, nowadays people look up things on their phones, and they're using voice, they're using Google, they're using, you know, they're using a whole different variety of ways to find the businesses that they need. And so, you know, if you're not online, if you're not aware of your digital presence, then, you know, you may be missing out on people that are potentially looking for you.
So you're going to drill down into like the, like, I'm wrapping myself. I know you have the content, but I'm just curious. Are you going to drill down into Facebook and talk about that? Or,
well,
2 hours is a long time, so I'm just wondering what content you came up with.
Well, first of all, there's content, and then I've actually done an exercise for each section. I'm breaking down digital marketing into six fundamental pillars.
Are you going to bridge
six
the
fundamentals?
Gaps?
Yes, but the 6 foot.
You're gonna have that. Don't do that out of the expo.
No. Okay. But the six fundamentals.
You'll crown early.
Are yeah. Oh my God. You're giving me a toothache.
Yeah. I could sit there and do these jokes out for you. I told you I could help you.
Yes, I think you should come.
I should go.
You should come in my suitcase. And
is it free or no?
No, it's not free.
So. In theory, we could just do this right now and give it out for free.
Potentially.
Yes. Okay. So go ahead. You're going
to... So there are six fundamentals that I think every business needs to pay attention to when they're doing their digital marketing. The first one is a website, which we all know, and that's kind of the foundation. If you don't have a website, a lot of people determine the legitimacy of a business based on whether they have a website, but they also make purchasing decisions based on the design of a website.
And oh, by the way, Avaliant happens to do web development.
We happen to do web development. But I found some really fascinating statistics, like 97% of people do research online for a business before they actually do any in-person interaction. And in addition to that, 75% judge the legitimacy of a business based on their website design. And by design, I don't necessarily mean
they're not
the
looking
colors,
at it like
the logos. They're looking at, can I get what I need to quickly?
They want to be able to make appointments, especially in the medical field. They want to be able to make appointments online. And I think when they're searching in Google, they're looking. They might not know to look for reviews, but if they do show up.
Yeah, absolutely. So the website's the first fundamental, and I judge the most important. Second most is local SEO. You have to be able to be in what Google calls the snack pack, which is the three most relevant search results in a local area, in a specific local area. So that's your organic search. It's not something that switches on. You can turn a switch and it's on. You need to do it. It's something that you have to do over time. You're also getting statistics during that time period.
Sir, what are those three packs that Google has? I'm just preparing you for possibly tomorrow.
Oh, well, it's the three.
I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad you asked. It's based on Google's algorithm. It could be... first of all, it's based on location, your physical location. So... that location relevant to where you're actually doing the search. So if I pull out my phone here in Bellworks,
right,
and do a search for dentists, I'm going to get a different result than if I go at home and I do a search for dentists from home, because there may be, distance will affect how those are displayed to me. A ranking factor is how long you've been online. If you've been online for 10 years, you get a little bit more, your ranking increases based on the fact that you've been around for longer than versus a dentist who's only been around for 1 year or any business.
If you have only like a couple of reviews versus like 230 reviews, it's going to be ongoing. I have a list of them in front of me just so you know. This is good. You can do these and look so bad that it's good dad joke level.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Let me know if you guys heard this one before.
And then reviews. Reviews definitely. That's actually another fundamental that I'm going to talk about separately. But, you know, reviews definitely impacts that search search result. So there's a lot of things. It's a long game that you play. It's certainly things that you can do on your own, but it can be complicated to do. Like, you have to make sure that you're claiming your Google listing, you're claiming your Bing listing, you're using a data aggregator.
And oh, by the way.
We do it.
Oh, how convenient.
And then the other four areas that I like to talk about that I think are really important, and again, this is applying for dentistry in this specific instance, but it can apply to any business. Pay-per-click, social, email, and reputation management. And each of those...
Is this an antiquated world, in truth, in the terms of most of these dentists are like lawyers and medical...
Not necessarily. Actually, younger dentists are pretty on top of this stuff.
But even then,
our experience.
I would imagine they're on top of it, but they're only on top of it in comparison to the older generation. I bet you that they are not. Like I follow
there,
a couple of the pediatrics,
are,
right? The pediatrics companies.
Yeah.
They seem to be very good with it. The dentists, I noticed, the one we chose for my daughter was because they did a day at the school. And even over here, they do mm-hmm. the dentist stuff. But I bet you there's probably a decent amount. Plus, I mean, let's be honest, you're going to Texas. I mean, you're one step up from Great Britain.
There's actually, in our experience, there are actually a lot of dentists who know what they're doing. And we don't, you know, there are some dentists who are out there creating video content. They're creating social content. They're out there doing this stuff. But the, proportionately speaking, I'm going to say like maybe 20 to 30% are actually doing this stuff. You're right, a lot of the older generation, they still rely on referrals, or they're so established that they feel like they're getting enough business. And they're, you know, the other thing is retention is typically very good with a dentist, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You're not, unless
the gift then occurs, because once you get in with them.
Yeah, unless a dentist does something egregious, you're not going to go and look for another
comfort,
dentist.
The comfort level and just the ease of use. And, you know, the older dentists, probably 50-ish and up, I would imagine, or even 60 and up, their clients are all mostly like senior citizens, like our parents and stuff, a lot mm-hmm. of them, that have gone to them for 30 years.
Yep.
And those social media people are on, if those seniors, if they're anywhere, they're on Facebook probably.
If they're anywhere. I mean,
so even mailers probably work with dentists.
I think mailers do work. I think the key is like, you know, are you looking for new patients? And if you are, then digital media is stuff you should be doing, because that's how people are looking for you. If you have an established base and you're maybe not looking to, you absolutely could, even if you have an established base, do any of these things and it will help your business. But I don't necessarily think if you're not looking necessarily to grow, or you're not necessarily looking to engage with those patients, then it's probably not necessarily the amount of money you need to spend on this stuff is probably less than someone who's trying to establish themselves.
Right. And are they all, are these people, is this like a national dentist convention, or is it a local one to Texas?
No, it's a national group called SmileSource, and they're in the industry. There's a lot of these groups kind of popping up called buying groups. And so what happens is the dentists, in this case dentists, join the group. They use their group power to get deals on a website or equipment for their office. You know, they're using that model to kind of get better deals.
And buying from each other. It's like
buying from
very similar to the Dads on a Budget on Facebook, which is so polite in that group. Actually, the dads are. It's the moms group, holy cow, there's some rough stuff going on in there. I don't want anybody to get bristled about the top. Wait, sorry, bristled?
Okay. Oh my God.
Yes, I just pulled them out of there. Who else is going down from... you can't deal with it. Who else is going down there from Avelliant?
It's going to be me and Sam.
Oh, my God. I swear I was going to say, if it's just going to be you and Sam, this is going to be a disaster. Because you guys really love, hate each other. And but I find that you need filters and buffers and people and stuff. So you're going to be together for 4 days?
We're going to be, Wednesday through Saturday.
Does he have, and the conference is, how many, is it one day?
The conference is Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay, so how many times are you doing this two-hour session, you think?
I'm doing the session 2 hours, but then there's a there's micro, like a convention center, and we have a table at the convention center.
Oh, so we'll that's be one there. Day as well, right?
That's like all 3 days. There's some time during all 3 days.
So this is like the DJ Expo down in Atlantic City where there's seminars for, and then there's the trade show that's open up throughout the whole time. And they and is Sam doing a presentation, or is he doing it with you?
He's going to be meeting with some clients about another type of project product we have, which basically is it's called multi-site.
Okay.
So there's actually, believe it or not, a lot of dental offices out there that have multiple locations.
Yep.
And the kind of baseline product that we sell can handle up to three, pretty nicely. But then once you kind of get beyond that, there are different needs for those practices. So we actually have a product that's specifically built for them. And also there are regional groups that this product is applicable to as well, of dentists. So like New Jersey has a regional group of about 20 or 30 dentists, I think.
Do you have clients coming?
I believe so. I mean, we sent out communications, and I can tell the people have opened them, but I don't know if they're going to actually be at the show.
Okay.
But this is supposedly one of the best, based on ticket sales, it's going to be one of the best attended shows that they've had. So we'll see.
Okay. Now, has Sam set up an itinerary for you guys at all or anything like that?
The itinerary is set by the group.
No, outside of the conference part. Does he have like a dinner scheduled for the two of you? He likes to walk in woods and stuff.
I do too. So
maybe you guys could sit around the campfire and listen to the Rockstar podcast.
Unfortunately with this, the trade show, the convention center on both Thursday and Friday nights, we're going to be on the floor.
Yeah. That ends at what time?
On Friday night, I think it ends at 10.
Okay.
On Thursday, it might end at 8.
So for him, 10, it'll be 8 o'clock. He'll be ready to go by
He'll
10.
Be raring to go.
Yes.
Well, no, 10 will be 8 o'clock, yep.
So maybe I'll see a late night photo. So I figured, why don't we just evolve this into very strange awkwardness, but here we go. Why don't we get to know Mariano? I'm just going to... Because we've done this podcast now for 9 years.
I know.
I don't think we've ever done anything like that. So I said, let's take advantage of this. So where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up? Massachusetts.
I'll do the Q&A. Don't you worry.
Well, I have to turn this around at some point.
No. We'll do another episode where it'll be just you.
It'll be just you. Okay.
And then we'll do, Tony. we'll both interview Tony. Because I don't think there'll ever be a time where it's just Tony and you or Tony and me.
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. So where did you grow up? You grew up where?
Massachusetts. Somerville.
And how long were you there till?
I was there till 2002. I moved down to Jersey.
Why?
I fell in love with a Jersey girl.
How did you meet Miss Jersey?
We met when she was in grad school, and she was in her Italian program is one where my mother was a professor as well.
Oh. So,
and there was
I've learned something new.
There was an event for the department, and my mother invited me. It was like a pizza party or something, and I said, "All right, I'll go." I didn't have anything to do, and I ended up meeting her, and we went out on a date like a week later.
No, we're slowing this down.
No.
Oh yes, we are.
We don't have enough time.
No. We're slowing this down. So you saw her. Did you go? Did you get introduced? Did you talk to her? How did you get her?
Because my mother had actually 97.
Yeah, there was no like I'll slide into your DMs on Instagram.
No. There was none of that.
Yeah, don't work
for
this.
We met, we'd actually met a couple months prior.
Yeah.
Because I was out on a job interview.
Yes.
And I went and met my mother for lunch.
Okay.
And I was in a suit and tie, and she was in the department.
Oh, I was going to say, careful what you were about to say.
She was in the department, and she didn't say much to me.
Okay.
And my mother
still the same.
You were so reticent when you met Mariano. Is everything okay? She said, I just think your son is really good looking.
Oh. Okay, don't worry. We will have her on this podcast. Oh, actually, your kids are going to be on the podcast
soon. Yeah, exactly.
So we'll get this story good.
So, you know, and then we went out on a date after.
Where'd you go?
We met.
Do you remember?
We went to a place called Sweet Chili's in Arlington, Mass.
Okay.
And
She
was living up there for school.
Okay.
And she was there until the end. She
you
was
have
there.
Zero Boston accent.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine.
There's a couple words that I'll pronounce that.
The obvious
Boston.
Ones are not even. I've heard.
No,
you. I've known you for over a decade almost, and I've never heard anything.
No.
Bostonian.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's just something I never picked up. I want to think that maybe it's because my father was an immigrant and my mother, you know, my mother doesn't really have a strong Boston accent, though she will say some words, but.
Speaking of wise, part of the course.
Go ahead.
No, Karen is texting me.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
just in case everybody wants to make sure that
she must have an alert on her phone that says, okay, podcast.
Yeah, she has an alert on her phone, but she doesn't look at it. It's fine. I've learned now to put the reminders off.
We should have Karen on, too.
I would enjoy that.
We actually had her once. We called her once, I remember.
Oh, we did call her, yeah, yes, we did. Yes. And she was at our live podcast.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, yes. Okay, so... you go on the date, and then after the date, this is not the way it used to be. So, like, you would have to, at best, was it texting?
Oh, after the date, I was hooked. I mean, I was like, okay, you know.
You're saving yourself from her, from you telling us how she thought you were the most attractive guy. And
oh, no. I tell this story all the time
like
because I felt, well, I was so nervous on the date, you know, like. I don't know how often this happens these days because I'm not swiping left and right and so on. So I'm on the date and we go to Sweet Chili's and I ordered like spring rolls.
Okay.
And they come to the table and I'm like, oh God, should I eat these with my finger? You know, like this is what's going through my head for
this is
for a first
usually
date.
What goes through the head of the female. But
so
I'm glad this worked.
Yeah.
If you know the dynamic of this marriage,
I'm like grabbing with a fork and I'm like trying to cut.
You're
it
like George cutting the Snickers in Seinfeld.
Exactly. And she goes, screw it, I'm going to eat with my fingers.
Right.
And I said, all right.
Okay.
There's no pretense here. That's good. This is good.
So, knowing your wife, I'm not surprised by that. She's, especially with food.
She's like, no fear. And then we had a great time. And then I think she really enjoyed it because I said, after dinner, let's go to the North End and get a coffee.
Can you specify what that means?
Well, the North
for people who are not,
for people
don't
who
know
are not
what the North
Boston,
End is.
The North End is the Italian section of Boston,
okay.
And so there, it's heavily Italian, but there's also a ton of coffee shops over there. This is before Starbucks, too.
This isn't equivalent to the typical Italian American guy who lives in the basement of his mom.
No, 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 no.
Let's go to the North End, honey.
Jesus. So the North End. For people who aren't from Boston, is the Italian section. And she knew about the North End, but she thought this was such a big deal. She's like, you're going to drive into the city and go to the North End? I said, yeah, what's the big deal? I mean, I've done it
Swoon.
A million times. And so, you know, I think we both had these moments on the first date that we were like, okay, this is cool. And then I think actually we went out the next night too.
Okay.
She went home for a break. And then she came back, and I think we went out that night. I mean, we just started seeing each other.
So then she eventually left school and moved back to Jersey?
Yeah, she graduated from grad school in 2000, I think 2002.
Were you guys engaged yet?
Yes, we were engaged at that point because I had told her, you have to, since she was in grad school, I didn't want to get distracted by wedding planning and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I said, when you are done with your, at a certain point, I said, when you're done with your generals, I'll ask you to marry me. And when you're done with school,
when
we'll
you are done with your job, I will come to you and I will ask your father.
Right.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I did that. That's another story.
Okay.
I came, if anybody's still listening.
Yes.
Well, So I told Gina I was going on.
We have 7,000 listens, so now you're at our command.
So I told Gina that I was going to on a business trip. It was a Wednesday, and instead of really going on a business trip, I drove down to Jersey, and I met up with her parents for lunch.
Okay.
And they knew it was coming.
I mean,
you know, who drives down to Jersey for lunch with his potential future in-laws? So, and I asked them permission. I went through the whole nine yards. I think they were pretty happy. And then we went to...
it's still open for debate.
And then that night I drove back. I didn't even stay the night. I drove back and I met up with her and, you know, she was convinced that I had gone on a business trip and had no idea. And even the day I proposed to her, she didn't really...
So, foundation of the relationship through lying.
Exactly.
like any great marriage should be. I also have done many of those drives to Boston, but this is not about me, so we're not going to talk about that.
Well, tell me about...
No.
What's your connection to Boston?
No, I have other questions. You can ask me when that time comes. For now, I'll speak candidly. So how were you in school? High school, stuff like that?
I was a nerd.
You were a nerd?
Yeah.
Like straight A type stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And what did you graduate? And where'd you go to college?
I went to Tufts.
Tufts.
Yep.
And master's?
Bachelor? No, just a bachelor's degree.
In
sociology.
In sociology. Okay. So you moved down to, you propose, you get married down here?
We got married down here, yep.
Had you moved already down here?
Yes. I was here for about a year before we got married.
A year before you got married. So now you are doing what for work?
I was doing database programming for Pfizer.
That sounds really exciting.
It was super exciting. Well, they had this system called the Global Regulatory System.
Okay.
And in short, it just basically tracked the regulatory status of drugs that they were selling throughout the world. And so it was an internal system. It wasn't publicly available. And I was one of the main database programmers for it. It was on version 2 when I came on the team, and I was actually heavily involved in upgrading it to version 3.
And so where were you guys, where were you in Jersey?
Here. I was in Middletown.
In Middletown. Then you get married, right? Where'd you go on a honeymoon?
Hawaii
for 2 weeks?
That was a surprise for her, too.
2 weeks? What did she think? To Paramus originally?
About 10 days. No, I told her, I can't remember what I told her. I told her something that she was happy with, but she really wanted to go to Hawaii, so.
Well, she suckered you in real good, because it seems like that you were fully in charge and involved, and then you got married, and then she's like, okay, you had a nice run. It's all over for you, buddy. That was your last monumental decision, was changing the honeymoon, or surprising. Since then, you've had no decision making of monumental cause.
All right.
So smart.
She just likes to be more aware of things that are going on. It's hard. I mean, it's harder to be spontaneous with kids.
Well, yes, but you didn't have kids then.
Well, I think the first couple of years she was she started at Montclair, but she was involved. There's a coaching institute up there
teaching Italian.
It was not teaching Italian at the time. It was just kind of more Italian language, culture, kind of the promotion of that in the community.
There was a class on that?
And eventually, no, it wasn't a class. It was an institute. Then she eventually moved from that into her professorship now.
Okay.
And teaching Italian and language and culture.
Okay. So now she is where? She's
still at Montclair.
Why? Wasn't she in New York for a while? Was she doing stuff in New York?
No.
No? Oh, no. Maybe she was just at the time when I talked to her. I think
she might have been. She was doing SAT tutoring for a while.
Okay.
College counseling. She does still do that occasionally on the side, but
okay.
She's been at Montclair for as long as we've been married.
So. Okay. And we're now going to in 2 weeks. We're going to have an episode. We're going to do a kids episode.
Yes.
We're going to have your nephew. Correct?
My nephew, Max. Yeah.
Who is how old?
He is 11. I think he's going to be, I think he's 11.
11.
Now. He's going to be 12 in October.
We thought about expanding it to your kids who are in that age range.
Yes.
And for any of you people who are interested in the state of mind of the 8 to 13-year-old and what they're watching on YouTube and slime and LOL dolls and Welcome to Disney color or whatever those things are. If you want to see where the future is headed, it should be an interesting episode. I promise I will not curse, although I think actually the first person that would curse is probably your son, possibly.
No, he knows.
Whatever you want to think your son does.
No. I know there have probably been instances where he's done it when I'm not around. But he's
Mariano,
never done it when I'm...
You think there's probably... I think he walks out of the house and he's like, this is... Like, he's a male and he plays baseball and he's how old?
He's going to be 13 in June.
Yeah, so okay.
He's 12.
He's raging with curses and
stuff. Oh, man. It's not so much that... And that, believe it or not, doesn't bother me if that's what he's... doing.
Well, clearly, if we've had a podcast this long, cursing cannot bother you.
The thing is that he knows where the line is with us.
Well,
so which I appreciate. Like, you know, he knows not to do it in front of us, and you know, if with him it's more he's getting at that age where like
he's
challenging. He rolls his eyes a little bit. You know, he's the preteen.
Yes. Yeah, so. No, I got you. But I'm saying, like, you're saying, not that he's cursed at you, obviously, but I'm saying, like, he hasn't said, like, stuff like shit or, like, stuff like that. No?
Not in front of me.
Meanwhile, I have a video of my kid, which, did I ever show you that to you?
No. Are you kidding me? You have to show this to me.
I'm going
to
play this on the clip at the end of the episode.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, I'm not, like, look, I'm not, like, you know, my kid is six. I'm not, like, F you to her.
Right.
But... And I'm not as much more sensitive. My wife is a little bit. She's Karen's got that side too with like me. So we honestly speak freely, but within reason when she's around. But she did catch me saying something, and to have your kid's first vulgarity on tape is like it made me cry. It was so beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful. But, like, she knows the bad words, right? Uh-huh. And, like, especially, like, we watch Impractical Jokers, okay? Uh-huh. Every night. That's over.
Actually, Jay is huge into Impractical
Jokers. Does Jay know I'm on the show? I've been on the show.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We did a whole episode around the wedding expo.
Are you kidding me?
I am in the whole, I'm not, like, on mic talking.
Uh-huh.
But I was there for the entire setup for 5 hours. I had pictures with them. I'm in the camera shot the whole time.
Oh, my God. You have to bring that up when we do the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I put it on Facebook like 3 times, but that's fine. I'll show you the video.
Oh, my God.
How
long ago was that?
5 years ago.
Oh, my God.
They come on, and they pretend to be event planners.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. I'll try and put the link into the video of theirs on YouTube. Yeah, but I'm right next to their table. So,
oh my God.
Like, in every overhead shot, my whole stuff is
there. Jay loves that show, and actually one of them is an animal activist. I don't remember which one.
Joe is mostly with dogs, but animals. Like he does a lot of animal stuff.
Because, as a matter of fact, as you know, Jay is a vegan, and he, that's another episode.
I don't want to be on that episode. So I'll get in trouble there.
He went to this dinner. He was invited to this dinner.
Yeah.
Because he's been involved in different groups, and he was invited to this dinner in New York. For animal activists.
Okay.
And Joe was there.
Okay.
And he got to meet him and he was like in all his glory was there. So,
yes. My daughter has, I have sent probably 5 different videos up to 30 seconds long to each of the individuals of my daughter asking her to meet with them because she thinks I'm good friends with them because she sees the video.
Oh my God.
So she's like, well, do you think if I met them, they would know me? Like that's what she says. Now we don't watch it every single night because if the Rangers or the Mets are on, then she deals with it.
Right.
I'll play the audio clip. Yeah, I don't care for crap. I mean, if you've listened to this episode, a curse from a 6-year-old is not going to be anything more than funny. So let's wrap up. You started Valiant in what year, or how did you start? What how did you come up with the name? What does it mean?
It means to avail you of your problems.
Oh.
So, and it was actually, the reason we picked it is because it was started with the letter A.
But is it an actual word?
No, we made it
up. So you went with like the yellow pages of putting an A in there, so you're listing first up top?
Exactly.
Okay.
But we started it in 2005. Scott and I started it, and then
Who came up with the Valiant?
Scott did.
Okay. I was going to give you full credit because I love the name, and then I realized, well, it's not you that came up
with it. I actually tried to come up with a couple of Italian-based names.
Oh, no, my God. Pasta shoot.
Yeah, pasta fagioli. Yeah. No. and then Sam came on board around 2010.
Okay. And then from there, it was started. So it was the three of you core. How did you come across with Sam? Because Sam is in Seattle.
So there was a big web development project that we were going to do some work on for Bake Me a Wish. I don't know if you've ever heard
of it.
Yeah,
I remember. We talked about it early years. Is that still around?
It's still around.
The military, right? Cakes and stuff?
Yep. And they, so they needed a website redesign. And I knew it was beyond where I was.
Okay.
We looked for a web development company that we could work with. And Scott's cousin in Washington is a designer.
Okay.
So, not a designer like clothes, but designer like
we understand the industry. Yeah.
So she introduced us to Sam because she worked with him extensively on different website projects.
Okay.
And she said he was great. So we ended up working out with him, and we did a few more projects, got along really well, and just finally decided, hey, you know what, we should be working together on a more permanent basis. So, okay.
Did you go to the hot chili restaurant with him or wherever?
No, I did not take him to the hot chili
restaurant. Because he is your business wife on some level.
He is my business wife on many levels.
Or maybe you're his business wife, actually, on many levels. Yes. You didn't take him to the North End, did you?
No, I did not take him to the North End. Okay. No, that's for, you know, when there's a conference there, we'll have a date and I'll take him out.
Oh, are you going to tell me what the North End was for? I'm like, wait a second here.
That's a different North End.
I mean, this is not the time to, now we're doing this. Yeah, it worked out well because with your kids potentially being on it in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, this would be a good opportunity for them to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Your son does not listen. Jay does not listen to it, right? Because I remember years ago.
He's listened to a couple of episodes. He listened to the one. Do you remember we did the one where Tony bleeped out
all
the curses?
Yeah, because you asked me the episode before to not curse because your son can't listen to it. And then I just was like, fuck that.
And he loved it. Like, he loved
listening. He loved the bleeping part? But he understood what the bleeping.
He understood what the bleeping part is, but he loved the fact that we did a podcast for him.
Now he's all cocky because he's 13. He's playing baseball. Right. This is dad's podcast. Yeah. Whatever. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he's going to want to be on it. That's he's at that age.
So. Yeah. Well, he's too cool for school. Gotcha.
Right.
All right. See, now this was good. We went 40 minutes.
This is great.
And we didn't really even dig deep into, like, your world, but we got a little bit of touch of everything.
And you know, we'll get touchy-feely with you at some point. By the way, thank you to Springboard for hosting this location.
Okay, so just to be honest, Mariano walks in, and we do the podcast here with Dominic in Dominic's office at Springboard PR. And Mariano walks in, and he's like, you know, we should really mention people that we do the episodes in Springboard. And I'm like, well, I do it on my other podcast, the Bellcast. And he's like, oh. So now Mariano wants to be in the good graces of Dominic and mention that.
I just want to be fair.
Okay, episode 37 is in the can. Stay tuned for the moment where my child drops her first vulgarity. I'll play that audio through the microphone. It might be crappy, but you'll get the gist of it. It'll be probably about 45 seconds, and we will see you next week. I believe we're having a company we'll talk about searches in Alexa and how to create the skills and do different things. In theory, that's what I think they do. That's what their website says they'll do. We'll see what happens.
Discover something new.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, they're going to talk about, who knows, next week on Proctology Now.
Yeah,
okay, episode 37 is in the can. Bye. All right, here's that bonus. Now, just to give a little bit of context to this, I'm in the kitchen, and my daughter is, like, down the stairs into the basement, and I guess I dropped something, and then this happened.
Yeah, you said, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I didn't think you were in here. That's not a good word to say.
Bad girl. Bad boy.
Okay, that's enough. Go play.
You're a bad boy. You're a bad boy.
Yep.
She apparently felt bad calling me a bad boy. But yes, yes. So that was the first time I ever heard her say it, and she comes running upstairs, and she's like, "You maniac!" And then that,
oh my goodness.
And then she's like, "You said what the fuck?"
Are you kidding
One
me?
More time. Now, meanwhile,
Karen, Gemma yells at me for saying stupid.
Yes, no, stupid is not acceptable.
No,
stupid. Yeah. We could joke around and say sometimes, like, and we're recording, by the way, just so you know. You could like joke around and say
silly.
No, we know that jerk is a bad word, so we say like joking around. We'd be like, "You're being a big J," like kidding around.
Yeah,
but no, stupid is definitely not acceptable. No. Even to the point of she was sitting at a parade next to one of her friends, and there was I forget what parade it was for the town for Keyboard, right? And one of the girls was leading like a cheerleading group or whatever as they were coming through.
She
was overweight. She was a big girl. She was probably like 12 or 13 years old. And the girl next that was with Sophia said, "Oh, look at that big fat." Right? But she didn't, they don't know.
Yeah, they don't
but
know,
my
yeah.
daughter was like, shut that down real quick. She ignored her
good
and she
her.
Said, but it's, well, good for her, yes, but also you see the teaching, right? Like, when we talked about Impractical Jokers, whenever they say like stupid or something like that, she's like, but he's only kidding. Like,
right.
So they understand like some of the harsher words that are really harsher, which is why the vulgarity part, if you say it like she said it there, or you know, you say what the F or like holy shit, like something like that.
Right.
We say it's context, it's how it's provided.
Right.
But yeah, it's funny, the word like stupid and stuff like that is not acceptable at all.
She and whatever,
and they teach that
even if
school.
I'm not referencing a If I'm referencing a thing, this stupid computer or something.
Yeah.
That is not okay.
Yes.
Not okay. And as a matter of
fact, that started with Oprah.
My other daughter, Tatiana, one time said, you know, she was at school and she said, you know, this boy, he said the S word. I said, the S word?
Right.
And
you thought it was shit.
Gina at first looked scandalized and I said, Tatiana, what is the S word? You can say it to me.
Yeah.
And she said, stupid.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
You know, I was cracking up laughing, but.
Here's one thing that I've learned recently, and I knew it, but I didn't know it in this way. The old school mentality of when they, you know, like, because now she's dealing with it in kindergarten, and someone in my family said this to her. I guess one of the boys said something, right? And someone from the older generation said, he just means he likes you.
Oh, yeah.
And I changed that right away, and I told her, in the car, about a day later, I'm like, it does not mean he likes you. It means he's being rude to you.
Good for you.
Yeah, because then you wonder when you're 17 and you're like, I only date assholes. Guess why?
Yeah.
And it's an innocence, a total innocence from the little boy, and it's a total innocence from my family member who said it because they're older generation and I get it. But when it comes to, it's not. It's no, just, it doesn't mean he likes you. Maybe he likes you, but if he does like you, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
He's not a jerk for real, but, or Big J. Yes.
Well, have you ever read Junie B. Jones?
I don't read.
Oh, man. Those books are hilarious.
I don't read any books.
They're easy to read.
I take you as my reading person.
If you ever get a chance, just get one of those books.
Yeah.
Like Junie B. Jones and the Big Fat Smelly School Bus.
I know
bus.
The book, and I know, yes.
Just go and get a couple of them. They're super easy, and your daughter will die laughing.
Okay. What's it called?
Junie B. Jones.
I've seen her. She has
Barbara Park.
A whole bunch of books, right?
She has a ton of them. Okay. She has one, Junie B. Jones, first grader, and those I don't find they're as funny.
Yeah.
But the Junie B. Jones kindergarten series that she has, and there's like a ton of them.
Is it like simple words and stuff where I'm reading it? Or?
Well, it's like she'll even say, you know, the principal made an announcement, you know, and it's spelled A-nouncement, N-O-U-N-C.
Gotcha.
An announcement is when they say something really, really important in school or something like that. And it's done with the mind of that age.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious to watch. Like in the first book, she gets stuck in school because she was playing hide and seek, and she thought she was doing a good thing by hiding really good.
Yeah.
But then nobody can find her.
Right.
And they lock up the school and they lock up the bathrooms. And she calls 911 because she's having a real emergency.
Right. Gotcha.
I'm telling you, just get one of the books and you'll be hooked. I think.
I wonder how you have taught your son in this world differently than, not you, I'm not asking you to be personal about it, but like with having two daughters and a son, to the whole world of the equality, the whole, like,
well, like it's hard because
when does a boy get to be a boy and when does a boy, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's such a balancing act different than, like, you know, I think I saw my father at my soccer games and I saw, you know, that was the only time type stuff.
Well, Jay and I are very close in that, you know, we both like baseball. We both, and it's interesting because he's going, like I said, he's going through that tough preteen age right now, and he fights a lot with his sister. And the only, and with his mother and with me.
What's the age difference between Jay and the?
They're 3 years, but roughly 3 years, a little less than 3 years
apart. Yeah, because like, you know, at this age now, until he's about 15, he's going to worry about being the cool.
Yeah, and oh, absolutely.
But at 18, 19, he's going to embrace the 15-year-old younger sister.
And she is, I mean, first of all, we've raised Tatiana to be a strong person. Even Gemma. Gemma's a very strong person. And well, she'll defend herself, you know, which is good. But he's at that age where there's a lot of sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
And to some extent, there's some of it that they need to go through, but it's some of it, like, as soon as it gets disrespectful, I cut it off. I'm like, you can't do that. You can't talk to your mother that way. You can't talk to me that way. You can't talk to...
You can call your sister a shithead, but not stupid.
Yeah, right. I try to kind of say, hey, listen, you know, it may make you feel powerful to talk to people that way, but it's not. You know, you have to always choose the one rule in our house is always choose kindness. So,
okay.
You know, and everything kind of falls under
that. Is there a framed wood plaque in the kitchen that says that?
No, but there will be. My sister-in-law did give us a little framed rainbow that says be kind on it. We have that up in our basement.
That's not like a saying. That's just, I got what you're doing, but is the rainbow significant of anything?
Oh no, it was just the design, but it was something. But she heard, she knows that that's our big rule, and she's like, I love it, and that's why she gave it to us.
Just to put it in perspective, Karen got one for our kitchen, and it's something about like bake me a cake or something like that, which is basically the way we are. I mean, you can see with the vulgarity, we're like bake me a cake, and you're like be kind to everybody. Kids are pain in the neck. All right, episode 37 addendum. Is this an addendum?
I would say this is an addendum.
I want to do like this is like a PSA for everybody, and do like the rainbow. Oh, the rainbow at the end. The rainbow,
did you know
the old NBC jingle and stuff like that? But Tony does audio, and I don't. So you're just going to get the regular stuff. In the can, 37. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.